When it comes to Mary, there are sort of two general responses to Mary in the Western Christian tradition. Roman Catholics tend to put Mary up on a pedestal. She is the image and model of female virtue. She is patient, kind, serene, virginal, and quiet. She is cast as this, just a little bit beyond, this serene, patient mother of God, always ready to listen, always ready to intervene, always just a little, well, let's face it, she's a lot above and beyond the normal human being. She is quite literally in a league by herself. And then there is the Protestant response. And because that's what we are, we're protesting sorts of people, we usually just ignore Mary, push her off to the side, trot her out for her annual visit to the church during the Christmas season, you know, sort of quiet in the sort of back of the manger scene, sort of looking down on her infant. And we do bring her out for her yearly visit, you know, probably because it is difficult to have that kind of manger scene without the mother there. How would the infant have arrived without the mother? But we Protestants, except for that, don't pay Mary a whole lot of heed. We don't really know what to do with her. Was she simply a convenient vessel for God's work, a sort of delivery system, if you will? Or was she something more? And if more, what exactly is that? So mostly we choose in our, let's just say the word, our patriarchal, male-dominated religion, we've conveniently pushed her off to the side. But to the extent that we do, we sometimes like to consider Mary's song of praise, which it was the suggested, actually alternate passage to the psalm today, but can never sort of just not do this little passage because it's lovely and we should hear it. But to the extent that we sort of do this sort of annual, not quite annual, sort of gazing at Mary's song of praise, it's hard to ignore it because it is so beautiful and because it does speak to these possibilities that we as well so long for justice and for right living and for the hungry to be fed and all of that. But today, as we gaze upon Mary for her annual visit with us, I want to spend not so much time in that song of praise, and instead to consider what happens before that and what is set up in that sort of section before as Mary offers her song of praise in response to what is said to her by, who remembers? Elizabeth, her cousin, with whom she spends some time during the course of her pregnancy. And so we will spend some time here because it is the sad reality that in Christianity, like many other religions, that we don't really spend much time in these places that highlight the experiences not just of a single woman, but of the relationship of these two women who spent time, one young, one older, but both pregnant. Now sure, pregnant with very important people, but still pregnant. We are in a tradition where we don't spend an awful lot of time, and yet during Advent, this is exactly where we should be spending some time. Spending our time thinking about the experiences of these two women in this incredibly special time in their personal lives, as well as in the lives of our tradition of faith. So let's spend a little time with our two pregnant women. expectant women, these two cousins that are together during this important, significant, amazing, almost hard to articulate time in their lives. I hope it wasn't last year. I don't think it was last year. I think it was quite a long time ago. So I hope you don't really. So if it sounds a little familiar, I have told this story before, but I'm going to tell it probably a little bit differently today. When I was pregnant with John, my best friend at the time in Waterville was also pregnant. And we shared our pregnancies together. This best friend and I, her name was Carol, and she gave birth to her daughter just a few weeks before John was born. To be pregnant at the same time as another woman turned out to be an amazing experience. It wasn't an experience I had when I was pregnant with Margaret. For those of you who have been pregnant, perhaps you remember, or maybe you've blocked out, some of those sort of not so pleasant aspects of pregnancy, morning sickness. There's people who come up to you and want to like poke you and touch you and ask you things you don't want to answer. There's a lot of indignities that are a part of pregnancy, especially now, you know, with all these tests and you have to go in for an ultrasound. And you got to drink this weird, you still have to drink the weird liquid and then they do the test. They still do that?
Yes.
Yeah, right. But it's right, like this orange weird stuff and they don't really tell you what's in it. But they tell you this really important thing, you know, so nothing bad will happen. And so you drink the weird, stupid liquid, and they take a test, and they tell you, you know, if everything is going along. And meanwhile, your belly is getting bigger and bigger. You don't recognize yourself. You're bumping into things, and you don't know what's going on. You're a little off balance, and you're trying to find clothes that fit you. And usually they don't, or they fit you yesterday, but they don't fit you anymore today. It's tough. Weird being pregnant. And I now wonder, especially as I was having this experience with this other woman, and we would, you know, share this. Our kids would get together once a week for a little play date and talk about, you know, what's going on and our ever, you know, getting larger selves and trying to find a place where we could sit and get comfortable and, you know, the stuff that we couldn't smell anymore. You know, coffee is very important to me, but yet both pregnancies cannot even deal with the smell of coffee. Ugh, it was not good. And all the other things that were happening, and how much more, again, hard to articulate, how much richer of an experience it was to share it with someone else. That we were not just, we'd already been friends, and how much our experience blossomed from this shared experience. Of, and not just a shared experience, but this sense, right, we're carrying this new person in each of our bellies. And there is this sense of an anticipation, an expectancy about what that would be like. Each of us had already had one child, but yet still there was something new and different, and part of it was because we shared the experience together. And I wonder about this shared experience that Mary and Elizabeth had. We don't really think very much about this time that they spent together. We don't highlight it. We don't visit it every single year during Advent, yet we should. And think about what it must have been like for these two women who knew that they were doing something extraordinary and exceptional, yet still very human and a part of our human experience. I bet that they experienced many an indignity, some stranger in the market poking them in the belly, you know, or asking them, what do you think it is? Or what are you gonna name the child? That kind of stuff. Or the sense of when you feel the first kick, or you have the sense of that thing sort of heaving itself on the other side of you when you are just about to try to get some sleep. I wonder about the experiences of Mary and Elizabeth. Did they get together over a cup of tea and talk about what it was like, their changing forms, their worries about birth, their concerns about caring for these special infants. For these two women spent 3 months together, I suspect they had a lot to talk about. But why? Why should we focus on this? Why should we wonder about this? Why should we spend a Sunday morning gathered in a sanctuary concerned at all about these two women pregnant, one with John the Baptist and one with Jesus? It is because we need to be aware of how we too share those kinds of experiences. Different, yes, but the same kind of expectancy. Even if we are in church every single Advent for all of our lives, Christmas must always, every year, must be new. The birth of Jesus must be experienced anew. We are all expectant people, and we have much to learn from this time that Mary and Elizabeth came together, to be together. To be among God's people is to be expectant people, and being expectant together is a powerful thing. A powerful thing that we probably don't appreciate or notice nearly enough. Something is always in the process of being born. God's purposes are always making themselves known. And we are people who participate in that birthing process, in that revealing process. We are the ones who are called to notice small signs of new life and new hope. We are ones who are called to be about the business of allowing God to lead us in ways that help bring new life to its fulfillment. Mary was not simply a vessel or a convenient delivery system for the Son of God, but the person who nurtured that new life, the first to wonder about what it was all about, the one who first got a sense of who this Jesus was going to be through his movement and life in her womb. And for some of that journey, she traveled with Elizabeth, also pregnant, and they were together, encouraging and supporting each other, wondering and hoping with each other, and being about the business of bringing new life into a chaotic and violent world. Mary and Elizabeth provide a model for us, a model for us as church, a model for us as God's faithful people, that we are to be together, that we are to be an expectant people. That we are the ones who are called to take heed and to notice and to look for, but also to know that new life, just like the new life of any infant, has its own life that we cannot control, but it is new life that brings us hope, peace, joy, love. So let us be the expectant people we are called to be. Let us be the joyful people we are. Praise be to God. Amen.